Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom, what up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. Doug Gottlieb Show today from sunny Southern California. The show is brought to you, though, by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. I was pretty good with the Twitter machine on Sunday, right before kickoff of the Packers-Niners game. I tweeted out, are you rooting for or against Aaron Rodgers? Right? For or against Aaron Rodgers? And the responses were almost as good as the actual question itself, right? Because the truth is that I didn't mention anything about vaccine. I didn't mention anything about retiring or wanting to change teams or the commercials or the long hair or whatever you want it to be. I didn't say anything about it. I just asked the question, you know, are you rooting for or against Aaron Rodgers? Are you rooting for or against Aaron Rodgers? And I thought it was interesting. You know, you have the, you'll have people who take it in a bunch of different ways. So actually, here's the tweet. Do you want Aaron Rodgers to win or to lose? That's it. That's all I asked. And it's about 50-50 if it was a poll. It's non-scientific. It's on social media. So the Packers are trying to figure out what the hell happened. Like, here we thought we had a championship team, and now one game in the playoffs, we're the only NFC team with a bye, we're out. Aaron Rodgers had this to say about why he thinks so many were rooting against him on Saturday.
There were a ton of people tuning in, rooting against us for one reason and one reason only. It's because of, you know, my vaccination status and them wanting to see us lose so they could pile on and enjoy and revel in the fact that, you know, my vaccination status was, you know, some sort of reason why we haven't had success in the playoffs or whatever it might be, some sort of correlation.
Do you think that's why people watched? First of all, Green Bay Packers, San Francisco 49ers, two of the biggest brands in all of the sport. There's also the storyline, obviously, with growing up in Northern California, wanting them to draft him, and the fact that four times in the playoffs, that same Niners franchise has ended his season. There's the matchup of two guys who are friends as coaches, and yet one seems, at least in the playoffs, to own the other one. That trend continued. The visual effect of Lambeau Field, right, where we actually have outdoor, cold weather, snow, historic stadium, etc. And you have the presumptive MVP or one of the two MVP candidates in an Aaron Rodgers, who's a great player and could have been playing his last game as a member of the Packers. Do I think the vaccination story and saga energized some people who already didn't like Aaron Rodgers? Sure. Sure. But the idea that people tuned in to see him lose to help their vaccination narrative. Yeah, that one, that's a bit of a reach. That's a Stretch Armstrong reach. Because the reality to it feels like, to me, plenty of people didn't like Aaron Rodgers to begin with. I like Aaron Rodgers. Never had an issue with him. Hung out a couple times I've gotten to know him. I kind of understand a little bit more of him and the things he feels like he's going through. I do not give him a pass for it wasn't his vaccination status. This is where all of the self-awareness is completely out the door. For a really, really smart guy, he thinks that the reason people are, quote, out to get him is because of his vaccination status. One, I don't believe anybody's out to get him. Two, I don't even think it's as much about his vaccination status as the facade that he carried on and the pushback and then some of the other commentary. And three, it's merely the straw that broke the camel's back. Remember, this is a guy that held the franchise hostage and is going to continue to do so. This is a guy that has a chip on his shoulder. This is a guy that is super, super, super talented, as good as anybody we've ever seen. He makes a lot of money, and when you make a lot of money, you're up for a lot of criticism when your team doesn't achieve. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he didn't play well. I just, like, this, you know, victimhood has been something that's galvanized people. People being martyrs. Well, they don't like me because of my vaccination status. Like, no, lots of people didn't like you anyway. And you played for the Packers. And you're playing your nemesis. And it wasn't the vaccination status, although that's a bit problematic. It's more that this joke of a lie that you kind of continue to carry on. Here's Rodgers on Pat McAfee talking about his decision on what he wants to do next year.
I'd like to, again, be respectful of the organization. One decision that will be upcoming will be obviously Devontae and his future with the team. There still is this thing called the franchise tag, which I don't think 17 wants the franchise. Like, no player ever wants a franchise.
Ever!
I think that should be enough time to make a decision by then. I don't want to put myself on a specific date, but, I do want to be sensitive to Devontae and many other guys who, have decisions to make on their own futures. And to drag it out past free agency would be disrespectful to the organization and to those guys, and that 100% will not happen.
This is Aaron Rodgers on what he's not going to do.
One thing I would not do, 100% would not do, is retire and then, come back a year later. I don't have any desire to do that. That makes no sense.
Right, so that takes out he just wants to retire to then force the Packers to trade him, and then he can go and, or whatever, choose his destination. It is really weird that the Packers are in a very similar situation to the one they were in at the end of the Brett Favre in Green Bay era. 3 consecutive seasons, he tinkered with retirement. Ultimately, early on in the process, third and final year, he said, I'm done. They handed the job to Aaron Rodgers, and then he had seller's remorse, really, and tried to come back and get his job back. And they're like, yeah, then he wanted to go to the Vikings, and they shipped him off to the Jets. But I understand that Aaron Rodgers wants Davante Adams to make the right decision. I like the fact that his process is going to be faster. I do think the more and more you talk about retirement, the more likely you are to retire. But I just don't understand why he thinks people suddenly don't like him because of his vaccination status. That's being way too much involved in the cesspool sphere of social media. The reality is plenty of people didn't like him. This just gives fuel to the people who didn't like him. There's some new people that didn't like him, but he made some new fans as well. But he was always a polarizing guy. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. So, guys, remember where you were when you found out Kobe Bryant died? Jay Stu, where were you?
On a plane to Miami for the Super Bowl. So everyone was kind of on their devices and whatnot, and a colleague of mine was sitting behind me.
Who's that?
I don't want to mention her name per se, but we had been talking. And then she taps me on my shoulder at some point. And I look behind, and she's crying. And she said something to me, and I couldn't hear. And then she finally articulated that Kobe just died. And then you're just like, what? You know? It just made no sense. Was it a Sunday? A Sunday morning, right?
It was a Sunday morning. Ramos, where were you? You're in baseball, weren't you?
No. We were at home. It was a Sunday morning at home, and we were watching the local news at the time. We were just sitting around, and they mentioned the fact that there was a crash in Malibu area, but they didn't know what it was. It's just a crash, and then as I saw Twitter saying that there was something going on with Kobe in a helicopter, I almost kind of put two and two together, be like, I wonder if that was that crash they were talking about earlier, and then they confirmed it. The sad part about the whole thing too was the fact that, you know, how news media sometimes, and I guess we can be a fault of this, of just kind of speculating about so much stuff. And the speculation that went on that morning about who was on that helicopter was just, in the end, really kind of scary and sad. I mean, it put a lot of people through a lot of... And I know you're probably going to say, like, that's their job. They have to think about things like that. But, I mean, the amount of different names that were thrown out there of people that could have been on that helicopter at the time probably put a lot of people through a lot of stress, you know. So it was, but yeah, that's where I was. I was at home.
Okay. What about you, Byer?
We just landed in Miami. Actually, myself and Elijah. Elijah's our do-all social media video everything guy. And we were going to baggage claim and we were waiting for our bags. And that popped up on my phone. And so then I had to go to the hotel and then go to our affiliate in South Florida and do my Sunday show from there, which then we did a whole, you know, 3-hour show. But even after that, you're just still in shock.
So I'd done a college basketball game the day before, and I was set to leave on like I'm a red eye guy. Especially when I'm going from west to east. I'm like, I don't want to waste a day on a plane. My daughter had a horse riding show. So I land at LAX. I burn it as fast as I can to get to San Juan Capistrano, which as a crow flies it's, I don't know, 60 miles or so from the airport. I get there, I pull in, I'm watching my daughter ride, and she actually did really well. And she gets out of the ring and she just breaks down and starts crying. And I couldn't for the life of me figure out what happened. Now, while we were watching the event, everyone started looking at their phone, right? And I remember looking at my phone and a buddy of mine's like, Kobe died in a helicopter crash, ? I was like, what? Check Twitter. I checked Twitter and then it was TMZ and you're like, oh man. So I didn't put the two and two together. The show that she was doing was not at her barn, but these barns next to, it's hard. She can like walk over with her horse. And so she's like covering her eyes and crying. And I walk up to her. I was like, Harper, what's wrong? She's like, my friend died in a plane crash, in a helicopter crash. And now, full disclosure, my daughter had gone to school with Gianna, and pretty much everybody on that helicopter, and she had gotten to know Kobe both times. She had gone to school with Gianna when she was in second grade, and then when she was in sixth grade, she was at the same school. We moved back to Connecticut in between. And so I said, no, Harper, the reports are Gianna's not even on the helicopter. She's like, not Gianna, Alyssa. And I'm like, who's Alyssa? So my daughter had switched from that school to a public middle school. And I drop her off before school every day. And there was a group of, you know, like at one point, I think it became bloated and it was like 10. But most of the time it was like 4 girls. And, you know, everybody has their little spot that they stand around and talk. That was her spot. So she says, you know, the girls that I talk with every day at school. Yes. Well, Alyssa's one of those girls, and she's in every class with me. I was like, I had no idea. It's like, well, how do you know she was on the helicopter? And her sister, her older sister, who, of course, survived, as did her older brother, weren't on the helicopter, is friends with Harper's, one of her best friends, and whatever told her. So I'm dealing with the, you know, one, like I'd gotten to know Kobe a little bit, gotten to like him. And two, now my daughter has gone through this incredible personal tragedy. And then at the time, first things first, called and it's like, can you get on an earlier plane so you can do the show? So we did the show. I did the show the next 5 days. We talked a ton about it. I got a chance to know Kobe a lot better later on in his life here, last couple years. We had drinks one time, just me and him, in the back of his favorite restaurant. And it was awesome. And he told amazing stories, some of which I've shared, many of which I will not. Maybe we'll put back out the all ball pod that has my thoughts. But the crazy part about it is I was not a huge Kobe Bryant fan as a basketball player. You know, I just wasn't. Like, he was a copy of Jordan, but not nearly as dynamic as Jordan. He, like Jordan, like any of those guys, he could be prickly and hard to deal with. What I loved about him was he competed at both ends, right? He wasn't one of those guys that he only wanted to take every shot. The problem was that on offense, the shot selection wasn't great and the shooting percentage wasn't. He just wasn't an efficient guy. Granted, efficiency has become more important since not just he stopped playing, but obviously since he died. But I remember when it passed, I was like, no way. And then, you know, this is where your worlds collide. I had friends who were at the gym, which was back then called the Mamba Center, which is where they were headed. And they're literally waiting for them to arrive and play in this tournament. And they never came and they kind of shut down the tournament. That was before everything started shutting down, right? Right. This is before COVID and everything else. They shut down a tournament and there's all these other kind of entanglements. So today, my daughter she's not going to school today, spending the day kind of herself. She misses her friend and she doesn't want to be around school people who she feels like aren't crazy sensitive towards the loss of her friend, Alyssa Altobelli. But, and I understand that. She just wants a day to breathe, you know? But man, what a crazy tragedy in the sports world. And how maybe lucky we are that so many other superstar athletes didn't die young. But man, Kobe Bryant in what was his, I don't know, third, fourth act, whatever you will, it sure seemed like he was kicking life's ass, you know, right up until the day he died. Okay. Jay Stu, favorite Kobe story or memory is what?
I mean, I grew up a Lakers fan and I followed him his entire career, but I think the one image that I'll never forget or I'll always associate with him is that Matt Barnes ball fake. Now, I'll qualify everything I'm about to say by saying that some nerd at some point found a different camera angle, which made it look a little less impressive, but I'm always going to remember the ball fake to the face in Kobe, not even hesitating or flinching, or he was just so locked in. And it reminded me of like his battles with Barnes and all those guys. And it's just to me, it's just like such a badass moment. I like to have that memory as my Kobe memory.
Okay, what about you there, Byer? Your favorite Kobe memory?
I was not a Kobe guy at all during his playing career, except really on the last night of his career when he had the 60 against the Jazz and completely overshadowed the Warriors winning 73 and breaking the Bulls record. But that night was, it didn't matter if he shot 100 times when he got 60, that was something.
He was amazing that night and really, really amazing. And then, of course, with the speech, Mamba out, which became a thing. Ramos, native Los Angelino, favorite Kobe memory?
For me, I think it was the fact I call it Kobe's coming out party, and that was game four of the NBA Finals in 2000 where the Lakers were up, I think, 2-1, and they were in Indiana. And I think Shaq fouled out, and he was, like, so dominant. And I think most Lakers fans probably thought, oh, well, that's it. You know, Shaq's on in the game. I think Kobe scored like 12 points in like the fourth in the overtime, and they won the game. And I felt like that was a game that boosted him up to be like the guy that you'd go to in situations. And that was the beginning of his like run of being the go-to guy. So I would say that would be my exciting moment for him.
There's a lot. I'm with Byer. I wasn't a huge Kobe guy when he played. 81 points is obscene. I mean, obscene against the Raptors. That was ridiculous. And it was a couple weeks before he'd had 60 and didn't play in the fourth quarter, which was probably even a better game. But to me, I think he's one of those guys that there isn't one memory. That's probably, by the way, the one NBA Finals where you can say, hey, Kobe this, Kobe that, which has always been the difference. There was, I do feel like his stock with the Lakers is overinflated, right? Because Magic was so nice to say he's the greatest Laker ever. Magic was the greatest Laker ever. But I also think that when he retired, there was at least a portion of the argument that he was this generation's Jordan, because he played both ends, because he played the same position, because he first half of his career wanted to talk and walk like Jordan, that even though I wouldn't put him in the Jordan realm for greatest player ever, or even the Larry Bird or Magic Johnson for greatest player ever, he's completely disappeared from the conversation, much the way that Favre has with quarterbacks, or even Peyton Manning has with quarterbacks, and they should be considered among the greatest ever to do it. But if I was to do a, it'd be a, more of a Kobe reel, right? It would be the air balls when he was in his rookie year in the playoffs. It would be when he was in 2000 when they won the first one. It would be the toughness exemplified where he doesn't flinch, or when he tore his Achilles tendon and he still shot the free throws on one leg. The 61 points and the Mamba out. But maybe more than anything, it was how he went through these different incarnations of himself, like the beta version, and the, you know, he went from trying to be Michael Jordan to trying to be Hood, you know, to trying to be Hollywood, to by the end he was Mamba, and he was just cool and honest and easy, and dudes liked him even if they hated that contract that the buses gave him when he was coming off his Achilles.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
Pac-Man Jones joins us, former All-Pro defensive back with the Bengals, 14 seasons in the National Football League. Pac-Man, what do you think of this, of how they've remade the Bengals from 2 years ago, worst defense in football, to now playing, win one game, go to a Super Bowl?
It's crazy, ain't it? Crazy what the offseason to do to you, and the front office just want to spend some money. It was hard times these last 2 years, but these guys finally got the right guys in that's bought into the system, and they playing all together. You could tell they're having a lot of fun, a lot of young guys built in with a couple of veterans. So they look good, man. They look good on defense.
How can they slow down and maybe even stop Kansas City?
It's going to be hard. I looked at the film twice. They played a little better. I mean, a whole lot better in the second half. You just got to match Mahomes, and when they get in the red zone, try to hold them to three instead of letting them score is the biggest thing. I know the last time we played them, the second half, we held them to three more than we let them score in the second half. But Mahomes is one of a kind. He have a great cast around him also. So I would say, man, just try to – and red zone defense is really important this week. They're going to get their shots, you know what I mean? They're going to get down there. But if we can keep them out the end zone, that'll be a big plus.
It's hard. They run those jet sweeps. Then they have Kelce, who's such a big target. From when you're sitting there and you're watching, what do you think? How do you think you stop them in the red zone, considering how different they are than so many other teams?
I would definitely double Kelce in the red zone. Of course, they're really fast, but it doesn't matter how fast you are sometimes down there in the red zone if you're playing together. So I would definitely double Kelce and make the little guys beat us. You know what I mean? Hopefully we can match their speed for 10, 15 yards in the red zone, and we come out with a victory.
How bad? What did Buffalo do wrong in those last two defensive plays?
It looked like they called sideline, which is they're supposed to have one guy in the middle. Normally – you only call that play if the team don't have any timeout. They had another timeout, so that's what saved me. It normally takes 8 to 13 seconds to run the play.
Yeah, so I don't understand. Why wouldn't you have some guys, you know, why are you rushing four? Why are you playing so far off when you know he's got to get rid of it quick, and he did both times?
Oh, yeah, and you can tell I don't know what he was thinking, but I understand the method, but it was a bad call. You know, you can't call sideline and they still have a timeout, and they only need 15, 20 yards to get the first down. So, but I know neither here nor there, you know, it was a great game, man, one of the best games that I've sat down and watched since I've had my time off.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. What was your reaction to Josh Allen? Like, everybody knew Pat Mahomes was that good. Did you know Josh Allen was this good?
Oh, yeah. I thought Josh Allen was really good last year also, too. He's came in and did nothing but perform and win. He's played at a high level. They've got shut down two times. But, yeah, I didn't think it would be that type of game. But it was very amazing. But Josh is he's an amazing athlete, man. He can throw that ball too.
Pac-Man Jones joining us here, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Does Burrow having kind of some swag, right? How does that affect the defensive side? You know, like when you were there, obviously you had a couple different quarterbacks. Carson was there for a while.
Yep.
Then you got the red rifle. How does Joe Burrow's swag help you?
It's just a different attitude when you got a guy like that who's used to winning, that shows that grit, that plays hard. It rubs off, you know. So the attitude comes with it. Carson was like that. Andy, and I don't know if Andy was nowhere near like the attitude and the grit that Joe has. But he shows it each week, man. The man got sacked 9 times last week. I'm joking, but and still came out and act like nothing even happened.
Yeah, so many of those other guys, they start seeing ghosts when they get hit that much, and he just kept playing. As a guy who's covered the best, how good can Ja'Marr Chase be?
Ja'Marr Chase can be special. You can tell that he can really run. He's good after the catch. He remind me a lot of Odell Beckham when Odell Beckham was in his earlier years. Not saying Odell is not the same player, but I'm just saying the kind of play that he has and with the Pro Bowls and the way he's using his speed in and out of routes. He had a problem with catching the ball early and on, and that was expected because he didn't play a whole year. But he's showing out, man. I think he can be really special, you know. You have to go back and critique yourself and always get better, you know. Like for Patrick Mahomes, I would say he looked at the film last year and realized he can't keep just backing up and trying to make something happen. As you see this year, he's pressing the pocket. He's taking off running when he sees two men. And that's how you can tell that the kids are trying to improve. You know, he have a very different game than he had last year, I would say, when I'm speaking of Patrick Mahomes, because of the off-season work. So it's all about how you do on the off-season, man, because every year a guy's trying to critique themselves and critique you to go against you.
Adam Pac-Man Jones joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show. So you have your own pod focusing on the Bengals. You do it solo. You have other former players on. Who's on your Believe Podcast Network pod?
Yeah, Believe in the Bengals with me and Solomon Wilcox. We have a great time on there 2 times a week. It airs on Mondays and Thursdays, so if y'all get a chance, go check us out, man. We got a nice little thing going on.
Did you think this was possible? Start of the year, okay? There's lots of people that were, you know, you go back to the start of the year, there were questions about Zach Taylor and how he related with the guys going back to year one. Honestly, and obviously now with the podcast, we got the tapes. Did you think this was possible?
I didn't think they would be playing in the AFC Championship. Until probably week 11, 10 or 11, him coming back early in camp. So I knew they would be a ball club, but I didn't think they would be game from the Super Bowl. I at least thought they would go to the playoffs and maybe win the playoff game.
Well, they've exceeded most anybody's reasonable expectations. Of course, they'd have to do it one more time to get to a Super Bowl. Pac, thanks for joining us. Can't wait to hear some more of the pod. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, pleasure is mine. That's Adam Pac-Man Jones joining us, former Bengal, former Titan, 14 years in the National Football League. Check out the latest lines from World of Sports, Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Bet Rivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. You got to be 21, present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, and Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Pac-Man, there's got to be Pac-Man. I'd like to hear the pod where there's the Pac-Man stories, right? Because there was a time there before he got his stuff together where there was Pac-Man had the he had the Antonio Brown going for a while, but you don't last that long in the league. Pac-Man Jones, not one of them.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show broadcast live every day from sunny Southern California. Welcome, welcome, welcome in. Wait to hear what Antonio Brown is suing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for. And we'll also remember Kobe Bryant and the helicopter crash victims, which was 2 years ago. It's a 2-year anniversary. I'll kind of share with you why it hits home a little bit stronger with me than it does with some others. And we'll do that upcoming in about 15 minutes. Daniel Jeremiah next hour, Tori Holt next hour, jam-packed show for you. So Barry Bonds didn't get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Neither did Roger Clemens. And I'm not going to sit out here and tell you that I'm the most virtuous human being on earth. I've made plenty of mistakes. I've made the argument time and again that neither belong in the Baseball Hall of Fame, while admitting that both previous to what were fairly obvious abuses of performance-enhancing drugs. That previous to that, they were both Hall of Fame players. See, but to me, you can't say like, well, for example, let's say, and if you want to tell me that steroids, well, they don't help you hit a baseball. Okay. It sure seems to help guys that use it, because we've never seen the type of production we saw when you had one of the all-time great players, right? The only reason Barry Bonds couldn't be as or more productive in his mid to late 30s as he was in his 20s is pretty obvious, right? Your body produces less and less testosterone. There's other chemicals your body doesn't produce nearly as much, but when you artificially do that, you cheat Father Time. And when you have a guy who's already a great player, and you eliminate the Father Time element and you make him stronger and faster and twitchier than he's ever been before, you look at the results, they're pretty obvious. You're never going to hear me say the stuff doesn't work. You're never going to hear me say that there wasn't a high percentage of guys on him. But I've always said that you're cheating the game. You can't they were a Hall of Famer before. Okay, let's just use the most easy analogy, which is you're taking a class. It's a really hard class early in the semester. A. You get to the midterm and you're kind of overwhelmed. So if you want to give me the it doesn't help you hit a baseball, I think that's a lie. It helps you train at the same or even advanced rate during the season as you would in the off season. Right? Like, it just cheats us of the fatigue. And it, you know, fills you up full of confidence, however bit artificial, and fills your body full of strength and energy. But let's say you have an A, like you're an A student your whole life. But now you're just kind of worn down. You got other stuff going on. You're tired. And you get the questions in advance. Illegally, right? You get the test before it comes out. So technically, you still have to prepare and do the work, but you know what questions are coming. You can work out the formulas beforehand. You get an A on the test. The teacher finds out. Do we put you on the honor roll for your 3 previous A's and your 3 previous? Of course we don't. Of course we don't. You know? Of course we don't. Now, the problem with the Baseball Hall of Fame not putting Bonds in, not putting Clemens in, which I don't think anybody really in their heart of hearts that knows what they're talking about actually thinks is a, you'll see a lot of guys on TV, you look at their ballots and they don't want the smoke. It's really what it is. It's hard to be honest in sports. It's hard to tell people, you know what, he's just not that good, or here's what's really going on. It is, because especially now with social media, because you just, people, they don't know. They don't care. They just want to kill the messenger. They just want to kill the messenger. The problem is they put David Ortiz in, who falls into the, hey, didn't he test positive once? And you can give me the runaround with the, well, you know, we weren't supposed to release that information. We don't know 100% sure. Poppy's a guy that went from a platoon player to one of the most prodigious hitters in baseball. And, oh, yeah, by the way, got in as a DH on his first try. These things don't happen often. So the question becomes, did Poppy get in because people like him? I'd say, yeah. Did he get in because of his performance in big games? I would say, yeah. And I would also say that there has to be something to it where he performed well even after the steroids were on some level taken out of baseball. But if you want to tell me that it's not fair, I'm okay with that. Again, I don't, life is not fair. It's never going to be fair. David Ortiz allegedly popped positive, right? What was that? What season was that? Was that 13?
It was the 2003 season when all these guys were tested, right? The results were supposed to be anonymous, but the New York Times article came out and they released a lot of the names that tested positive retroactive to 2003. And Ortiz was on that list with A-Rod and whatnot. So that's what, when you hear that he's been linked to the steroids, that's the one article that links him.
Yeah. His defense has always been, you don't know what I tested positive for. My issue with that is, look, if it's nothing, then just tell us what you tested positive for, right? Like the truth will set you free if it is the truth. But hiding behind that, well, you don't know what I tested positive for. You tested positive. My guess is that there's something in there where it's a well-known and widely spread story of what really happened. Whereas Bonds and A-Rod and Clemens, most people know what really happened. Do I think it looks hypocritical? Yes. Would I have voted for David Ortiz to put him in? No, especially not on the first ballot. But I wouldn't have had Barry Bonds in. I wouldn't have had Roger Clemens in. And I've been pretty dug into that. But you get now to where people are just like, well, why don't you have Pete Rose in? Like, do you know anything about baseball? The Black Sox scandal nearly ended the sport. There's a rule. The rules are up in every clubhouse in America, including the one that he was the player manager of. And yeah, I mean, like, look, Pete's done this to himself. Barry's done it to himself. Roger Clemens done it to himself. I love that Roger Clemens said, you know, he basically 10 years ago knew the Hall of Fame thing wasn't happening. On the other hand, if it's not a big deal to you and you've moved on, why are you putting out a message about the Hall of Fame? But you have a younger generation who it is very much about, hey, look at those numbers. Look at what he did. It's incredible. And it is. And oh, yeah, by the way, that's even more the reason why you keep him out of the Hall of Fame. But because Bonds and Clemens created a completely unrealistic image of what a baseball player would look like and play like in his late 30s, which encouraged others to do the same. And they were probably encouraged by Sosa and McGuire and whatever. And so if those guys did it and it became you're only going to make it in the bigs if you're juicing up, because otherwise you just don't have the power of these guys and your body breaks down because of 162 games. These are all excuses, not reasons. But the reality is that no matter how many mistakes guys have made, these are things that you've done which have unfairly tilted the playing field. Like, I don't like the idea of some of these guys who are bad people off the baseball field, off the football field, off the basketball court are in the Hall of Fame. On the other hand, what will keep you out of the Hall of Fame is not necessarily that as much as did the things that you've done, have they changed historically baseball? If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. That's why Discover matched all the cash back you earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. You'll get pro baseball players. I know several of them. They're like, those guys were unbelievable. And their thing is, I don't know, just if you wanted to put them in, put an asterisk in there or put the whole story in there. But if you really, really pushed, they'll tell you, you don't need to put them in. What they did was wrong. And that's why they never will say, you know, it wasn't wrong. It doesn't help, because they know it's a flimsy argument. They'll hide behind I never knowingly used steroids, which is crap. Yes, John Ramos.
I think one of the things you hear a lot about, and it pertains to me specifically from Mike Trout, is We don't want to waste a lot of fans. We don't want to waste Mike Trout's best years, right? That's what you hear all the time. Got to get somebody in there to help the Angels out. We just don't want to waste Mike Trout's best years. Well, according to Barry Bonds, his best years are ahead. He's only 30 years old. So when he gets to be about 37, 38, this guy should be banging like 70 home runs, right? I mean,
yeah. I mean, it's so bad. I got a bunch of these tweets here. Let me just read them to you. Wes in New York, Poppy was a 260 hitter with 58 total home runs his first 6 years in the bigs. Yeah, Boston turnaround was just due to his hard work and balanced diet. I agree. I mean, I have my own suspicions. Bernardo says, how do you reconcile David Ortiz making the Hall of Fame when he tested positive for steroids? He tested positive. We don't know what for. I assume it was some sort of performance enhancer or masking agent or whatever. I can't reconcile it. It does look to be hypocritical. And I also, and it's just more, everybody liked Big Poppy. He was part of the greatest comeback in era in Red Sox history. He was the leader. He was the, grabbed the mic after the marathon bombing. None of it should play a factor. None of it should play a factor in him being in the Hall of Fame, but it clearly does. I wouldn't put any of them in. I think the difference would be that Clemens and Bonds were not only caught red-handed, but also caught in a scheme where it appeared to be quite obvious in terms of their late career explosion. And look at the number of awards. I almost think they were too good. Steroids worked too well on them. They were too good. And it became too obvious. And that holds them out. I can't reconcile it. I like congruent arguments. I don't think baseball's making a congruent argument.